Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, of whom we are quite possessive. He joins us weekly. The films Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, Mike Wallace Is Here, and The Mountain. You know, it's good you put that second film in the middle, because what? Now we know where Mike Wallace is. He's here on The Mountain.
Well, I guess so, yeah. No, actually, we got three different movies today. And by the way, greetings from White River Junction, Vermont, where I am visiting my son, Craig, but still taking time out, of course, always to do our show. And got three movies today, and the first two are documentaries, and the third is very much not a documentary, but we'll get to that in a moment. The first two are nonfiction films that are getting a lot of play. They're around in a lot of, you know, they're in theaters and not just the documentaries that show up on television all the time. And they deserve to be in theaters because they're both very good movies. The first one, Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, is, you guessed it, about the writer Toni Morrison, who actually just died so recently, almost at the moment that this film came out. So that was kind of sad, but it's nice to know that this film will be around as a memorial to her, and it's a very interesting and informative memorial at that. And it really tells the whole story of Toni Morrison from her rise from being a young person who really wanted to write to her winning the Nobel Prize for Literature, an astounding achievement for anybody, and especially for an African-American woman from the United States. So quite a saga. And the movie points out very articulately that she really had three different things which she did over the course of her whole career in different ways. She was obviously a writer, a novelist of tremendous importance. She was also an editor, though, and she worked a whole lot with other writers. And she was a teacher. She spent a lot of years at Princeton, for example. So she had a variegated career, but always focused, everything focused on literature, which was her great love in life. Now, a great deal of the movie, with that slightly odd title, Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, a lot of it is told through basically talking head interviews with her. She looks into the camera and she speaks and she tells her story, large chunks of it. And this is illustrated with clips from various things, including a lot of material photos and film footage showing aspects of the African-American experience in the United States over the years of her life. And then we also have, you know, as always in such movies, other people show up to talk about her. People like the critic Hilton Alls, the novelist Russell Banks is in there, Fran Lebowitz, the cultural commentator, Oprah Winfrey is in there. And they're all very admiring of Morrison, obviously. Now, the movie also does a little bit of sort of punditry on kind of, you know, why her writing was unique and why it was so important, and her great gaze, and her great aim, and she herself says this very articulately, was to get away from what she calls the white gaze, that in America, obviously, we are a white-dominated society. That's not going to last forever. Demographic changes are certainly sweeping along, but certainly during the 20th century, which is the time of her life, a very white-dominated society, and everything, including African-American experience, was filtered through the idea that the white people were all around, and the white people were always looking, and the white people were always judging, etc. And she wanted to get away from that. She felt that she could, what she wanted to do, again, her aim, was to express the black experience, express things that it meant to be African-American in a way that was not filtered by the whiteness that was all around and permeated through the African-American experience. And so that was her aim, and it is, I think, widely agreed that she achieved it extremely well. And again, she speaks herself very articulately about these things in the movie. Certainly, I've read Toni Morrison over the years, and she's a formidable writer. And the movie really gets across a sense of why she was as important as she was. She wasn't just a talented writer. She was somebody whose novels really covered an enormously wide range of African experience. Her novels go back to the Civil War era and right up through contemporary life. She'll deal with little children. She'll deal with old people. Just a tremendous variety of subjects, but always focused on that idea of getting across what it means to be African American, and doing so in a way that is not just a shot through and through with what she calls the white gaze. So anyway, really, really interesting movie. It's hagiographic. You're not going to get a balanced picture. You know, there are not the flaws along with the virtues of Toni Morrison here. She's pretty much a saint in this movie. If this is hagiography, the story of the life of a saint, it's well-deserved hagiography. Second movie today I'd like to talk about, Jill, is another documentary about another important figure from the 20th century. Mike Wallace Is Here deals with, you guessed it again, the television news, the television journalist Mike Wallace. And this is less of a hagiography, because we really do get into some dark sides of Wallace's life. I don't mean that he did bad things, but for example, one of the things that's covered long into the movie is the death of one of his sons, which was a devastating experience for him, apparently the accidental death of a son of his who was visiting in Europe. Later on, there's quite a bit of discussion of a period of terrible depression that Wallace later in his life went through, including, it is revealed, a suicide attempt, which he never really talked about before. So it gets, again, into some pretty dark stuff about Wallace, but it's basically a story of somebody who was a great success. And it tells the story of that success very well. Wallace is no longer around, but so we don't have, you know, talking head interviews with him into the camera, but he got plenty of coverage when he was alive. He was a news person, and other news people covered him. So there's a lot of his talking with other news people along the way during the movie, and then a whole lot of, again, clips of other people talking, and just news clips, things that were on television that affected him or that he was involved with. He started his career, interestingly, not as a news person, but as somebody who wanted to get into television. It was this really exciting new medium. You know, this is way back around the middle of the 20th century, right after World War II, when not very many people had television sets. And as he says in the movie at one point, you know, kind of everything that was done was experimental. It was a medium that people didn't know how it was going to develop, what it was for, how it was best used, how it was worst used. So he really wanted to get involved in that, and he got involved in it in different ways. He was an actor. He did commercials. He was a real pitchman, as they used to say, and later on, embarrassed by some of the stuff, he just got up there and did some very amusing footage with the very young Mike Wallace sort of doing commercials for products and things like that. And then he got into television news eventually. And the way he distinguished himself when he was getting into news and when he was starting his rise was by asking really tough questions. And one of the interesting things that the movie explores in different ways as it goes along is this idea that is the separation between the personal stuff that you really shouldn't be asking if you're doing serious news, serious journalism, and the stuff that's personal, but that audiences are often really interested in. And there's some sort of amusing little back and forth play in the movie where, again, Wallace developed a large part of his reputation in his own early programs, by asking people tough questions and sometimes uncomfortable personal questions. And then what happened when sometimes people tried to turn that kind of questioning on him? And he would sometimes say, well, wait a minute, that's not relevant. That's just a personal question. So there's amusing play in that. And of course, there's a very serious issue involved in this. And there's, you know, television news nowadays is maybe more controversial than it's ever been before, with all of the stuff that our current president is constantly spewing about the lamestream media and the fake news and all of that. And these, you know, were issues before Trump came along. And there are issues that are discussed in this movie in various ways. And Wallace was involved in some of the early debates about that sort of thing himself, not so much about when news is fake or not, but more issues of what's the personal, what's the professional, what sort of questions is it okay to ask, what sort of questions shouldn't you really ask, but maybe you ask anyway because people want to know these things, etc. And it also tells about how he had various shows of his own, and, you know, kind of ups and downs in his career, and then eventually became a mainstay on 60 Minutes, which itself was extremely experimental and a brand new kind of a phenomenon when it first came along, and then spawned all kinds of imitators. The Toni Morrison documentary that I talked about a few moments ago, Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, is not an exciting documentary. It's very informative, and it's sort of inspiring in various ways. But the Mike Wallace documentary, Mike Wallace Is Here, is exciting. There's a whole lot of really fascinating stuff, and the movie develops a lot of momentum as it goes along, and it's full of little surprises, both audiovisual surprises and the stuff that you see on the screen, and surprises when you find things out about Mike Wallace's career that maybe you didn't know before. So it's a movie I really had a good time watching. It moves along at sort of a rollicking pace. And it's an enjoyable movie, and again, kind of an exciting one. So of these two documentaries, I guess the Toni Morrison one is maybe a little bit more sort of high-minded, but the Mike Wallace one is more exciting. And now, as the Monty Python people used to say, for something completely different, I would like to talk a bit about a movie called The Mountain, which is out right now. And this is not something that's going to be in every multiplex, but it's a very, very, very interesting movie. And I think is worth seeing in various ways. And I want to talk a little bit about the filmmaker who made it, who directed it and co-wrote it, a guy named Rick Alverson. So Rick Alverson, he's made 5 feature films now. This is the 5th. And if you're interested in him, you can find his movies, you know, streaming in various ways. They're out there. And this one will be soon, I'm sure. And he has a theme and he has a style, and they are very distinctive. He makes movies about very, very depressive people. His characters tend to be really unhappy and to have really aimless lives with virtually no sense of purpose in them. And he makes movies that express that sort of sensibility. His movies meander and wander and are themselves extremely depressive. There's one he made called Entertainment, which is about what's got to be the least funny comedian who has ever lived, who is trying desperately to keep his career going by sort of touring around and playing rotten little clubs and telling rotten, unfunny jokes. His most recent movie before the new one is called The Comedy, and it is about a young man who has quite a lot of money but absolutely no sense of aim or purpose in life, and apparently no sense of empathy or sympathy for his fellow human beings, and we just sort of spend some time in his presence. Again, depressive stuff. But there is a message here, and the message has to do with the fact that so much of current contemporary modern life seems to be aimless and without purpose, and that if we don't start thinking about that more maybe as a culture, we may be in for various serious troubles beyond the kind of political troubles that we seem to have nowadays. And anyway, I'm sort of reading that in a little bit. All of that is very implicit in his movies, but he is definitely, by showing these aimless, purposeless lives, he is definitely engaged in cultural critique here. He is not happy with a lot of what he sees in contemporary society, and that's what he comments on in his movies in pretty uncompromising ways. Now, The Mountain is the closest thing to a mainstream movie that he has made. First of all, it has kind of a movie star in it. Jeff Goldblum plays the main character, and it has a really linear story, which most of his other films do not have. It really moves along. So we have here the story of a young man, once again, played by Ty Sheridan, who really has absolutely no idea what he's going to do with his life, if anything, and he meets an older man who happens to be a physician. And this takes place back in the 1950s. And the older man, whose name is Dr. Wallace Fiennes, he turns out, we discover fairly early in the movie, and this is something that really existed back in the 50s, he is a traveling lobotomist. He goes from one mental institution or asylum to another and performs lobotomies on people in this very crude, old-fashioned message, the transorbital lobotomy, where you sort of go in through the eye. Now, there is not a lot of gory surgical footage in this movie, but this is what he does, and this is a large part of what this movie is about. And he hires this young, rather aimless, not particularly bright young man to be a photographer, to come along and record his work by taking pictures of patients before, during, and after the lobotomies are performed. So that is what it is about. Again, Jeff Goldblum is a very fine performance as a lobotomist. It's not a very easy role to take on and to make a character sort of sympathetic. And Ty Sheridan is good good as the young man, although he's so good that it's sort of uncomfortable because he's not really sure what he's gotten himself into here, and things do not turn out awfully well for him in the course of the movie. Once again, even though this movie takes place in the 50s, it's pretty clear that the writer-director Rick Alverson is engaged in social critique, in cultural critique, and here he's kind of talking about something that took place a little bit earlier in history, the sort of, if we can call it the golden age of sort of crude lobotomies, and when that was a way to attack mental illness. And we also see how eventually this main character gets phased out by technological advances. Turns out that the asylums and the mental institutions aren't so interested in this crude method anymore, and that gives him a whole lot of grief toward the end of the movie. But again, we are dealing with the kinds of problems that crop up when people really don't know how to deal with their own or with other people's mental, emotional, psychological difficulties. And here, Alverson tackles that really head on. And it's a very, very interesting movie. Not an easy watch, but I found it quite almost mesmerizing along the way. And visually, it has some really quite remarkable stuff in it. So a very atmospheric movie. And in its own sort of recessive, depressive way, a kind of a powerful movie. So that is my own, I hope, not particularly recessive or depressive story this week, Jill.
Never. Thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films. Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, Mike Wallace Is Here, and The Mountain.